Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Like AIDS, Ebola comes to us from Africa. And Africa, specifically Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, is now undergoing the worst recorded outbreak of Ebola in all known history, greater than all other outbreaks combined. Some 4,000 have died there, and the World Health Organization, WHO, informs us that, quote, Ebola is now entrenched in the capital cities of all three worst-affected countries and is accelerating in almost all settings, close quote. In other words, containment has failed. There are some 9,000 believed to be infected. But remember, this is Africa. The number infected but not known and or not seeking treatment is probably much larger. WHO's deputy head, Bruce Aylward, stated that the situation was notably worse than it was 13 days ago, saying, quote, the disease is entrenched in the capitals. 70% of the people affected are definitely dying from this disease, and it is accelerating, close quote. As with AIDS, if you contract Ebola, the prognosis is dim. The fatality rate in earlier, milder outbreaks was between 40 and 90%. So it's not as invariably fatal as AIDS, but death is much swifter, usually taking just weeks instead of years. And it's a horrible death. Massive hemorrhaging occurs as the virus attacks your blood vessels and nervous system, with massive multiple organ failures occurring all at once. And there's very little medical science can do to help you. There's no proven vaccine, no cure, and all the new treatments being given, in the rare cases when they are given at all, are classed as experimental and have had essentially no impact on the death rate. Mostly the hazmat-suited medical personnel provide isolation and hydration and little else. The outbreak began early this year, but fully 40% of the deaths have been in the last 3 weeks. According to the futurist Ole Peter Galassen of Plausible Futures newsletter, a worst-case scenario would result in 1 million cases by year's end. And the new outbreak of Ebola is not restricted to Africa this time. It has come to America and Europe as well. Look at the map I posted at the beginning of the text version of this broadcast. It's probably too early to draw conclusions, but this infection map is very suggestive. The only places outside of Africa with current cases of Ebola infection are Western Europe and the United States. The very places where the Jewish power structure has imposed policies of open borders and engineered the importation of millions of Africans into formerly white nations. In Eastern Europe, where there is a greater degree of racial integrity and less human traffic to and from Africa, no reported cases so far. In Asia, too sane to tolerate mass African immigration and not under Jewish pressure to blend itself out of existence, no reported cases. In South America, rife with its own racial problems, but mostly free of African migrants, also, no cases. Sub-Saharan Africa is a sinkhole of savagery, filth, violence, and disease, and involvement with it has been a bane to our people and our civilization. Many millions of Africans get a large portion of the protein in their diet from what is called bushmeat. Porcupines, wild dogs, bats, and many other species of wildlife, even primates, are killed by blacks, and then their bodies are eaten or sold to be eaten under the most unsanitary conditions imaginable. These dead bodies are often eaten only partially cooked or uncooked, and little or no effort is made to prevent contact with raw blood from the corpses. It has been proven that bushmeat is a major source of Ebola infection. Recent studies have shown that HIV/AIDS was first passed to African humans from gorillas and chimpanzees in the form of SIV, simian immunodeficiency virus, probably from the handling of simian bushmeat, though sexual transmission cannot be ruled out. And you probably didn't know that fully 2.3% of the general population of Cameroon is infected or has been infected with SIV, with infection reaching 17.5% in some areas. Over decades, SIV eventually mutated into HIV. Africans with relatives in Haiti brought AIDS to that Caribbean nation, and Western homosexual sex tourism to no-holds-barred Africa and Haiti brought the deadly disease to the homosexual community in America and Europe, where it has, of course, spread into the non-perverted portion of the population as well. Though filthy homosexual and Congoid sex practices, along with a probable African predisposition to the disease, make infection rates in those groups notably higher than in the white population at large. As with HIV, one can contract Ebola through contact with the body fluids of any infected person, including ingesting particles from their sneezes and coughs, kissing them or otherwise coming into contact with their saliva, having sexual intercourse with them, touching their clothing if it contains particles of blood, sweat, or waste, or by shaking hands, hugging, or otherwise touching their injured, bleeding, or sweating skin if you have even tiny invisible lesions on your own. The mulatto president of the regime in Washington, Barack Obama, in a recent televised speech, emphasized that, quote, "You cannot get Ebola through casual contact, like sitting next to someone on a bus," close quote. Yet, the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, in a bulletin for aid workers published around the same time as Obama's speech, paints quite a different picture, urging those who suspect they may have the disease to, quote, "limit your contact with other people when you travel to the doctor. Avoid public transportation. Do not travel anywhere except to the doctor's office or hospital. If you get symptoms of Ebola, it is important to stay apart from other people and call your doctor right away. Controlled movement requires people to notify the public health authority about their intended travel for 21 days after their last known potential Ebola virus exposure. These individuals should not travel by commercial conveyances, e.g. airplane, ship, long-distance bus, or train. Local use of public transportation, e.g. taxi, bus, by asymptomatic individuals should be discussed with the public health authority." Close quote. The CDC bulletin also advises that a person can contract the disease if he or she, quote, "spends a long amount of time within 3 feet, 1 meter, of a person who is sick with Ebola," close quote. The CDC's recommended precautions to avoid becoming infected with Ebola, quote, "includes wearing a mask over your mouth and nose, waterproof gloves, a gown to protect clothing, and eye protection, goggles, or a face shield, corrective glasses are not enough," close quote. And by now, we've all seen the hazmat spacesuits that intelligent healthcare workers insist upon wearing when dealing with Ebola patients. Meanwhile, Fetch It tells us that sitting right next to an Ebola victim on a bus, wearing no protective clothing whatsoever, is perfectly fine and dandy. The missionary work of Christians and the other efforts to bring Western medicine and agricultural science to sub-Saharan Africans are partly to blame for the perilous situation in which both we and the hapless Africans find ourselves. Africans were primitive and savage, but for millennia they existed in small numbers and in balance with their environment. But meddling liberals and Christians insisted that they were equal to us, and through the application of Western technology and techniques, brought down their natural death rate, so their populations burgeoned beyond all expectations. Small hunter-gatherer communities were converted into overpopulated urban nightmarescapes, and the environment was devastated. Our policy should have been to leave these primitive peoples alone, to seek out their own ways and their own futures and their own balance with nature. We should have left them behind, just as our ancestors left Homo erectus behind long before the dawn of recorded history. All we did when we engaged with them and helped them was destroy their traditional culture, exchange misery on a small scale for misery on a gigantic scale, and endanger our own future for no benefit whatsoever. After centuries of engagement, Africa is still irremediably savage, filthy, and primitive. A fairly intelligent and well-meaning Ghanaian woman, Elizabeth Ohini, made the point when she described the progress her country has made in fighting Ebola to the BBC. Quote, "We are in the middle of what health officials are calling a staggering outbreak of cholera in our capital city, Accra. The last figures I saw put the cholera fatality cases at more than 40 dead and 3,100 people having been infected. The mayor of Accra has announced that sites have now been found for waste disposal, and mounds of rubbish that had been on the streets for months are being removed. The last census figures show that more than half the population of this country do not have toilets in their homes. We love funerals, we love dead bodies, and we have elaborate mortuary rituals. Maybe the current crisis would force us to reconsider these practices. Do we really have to continue keeping dead bodies for weeks and months and even years as we prepare to give befitting burials?" Close quote. In Africa, superstition, ignorance, and hatred of whites makes the lives of local and Western medical workers very hazardous at times, and progress against the disease difficult. According to a report from NBC, quote, "A Red Cross team was attacked while collecting bodies believed to be infected with Ebola in southeastern Guinea. The latest in a string of assaults that are hindering efforts to control West Africa's current outbreak. One Red Cross worker is recovering after being wounded in the neck in Tuesday's attack. Family members of the dead initially set upon the six volunteers and vandalized their cars. Eventually, a crowd gathered and headed to the regional health office where they threw rocks at the building. The attack is the most recent in a series that have plagued teams working to bury bodies, provide information about Ebola, and disinfect public places. The most shocking to date was the abduction and killing last week of a team of several health officials and journalists in Guinea who were educating people on how to avoid contracting Ebola." Close quote. The primitives apparently believe that the workers who are trying to help them are really infecting them and therefore must be attacked and killed or driven out. In third-worldized America, things are better, but not much. In Texas, where Patient Zero recently died, the supposed hazmat cleanup crew sent to disinfect the apartment complex where the victim lived was nothing but a ragtag, t-shirted group of apparent illegal immigrants with garden hoses, with no protective equipment in sight, spraying and splattering the vomit from the now dead Ebola victim all over the place and running it down the community's storm drains. The family of Patient Zero is supposedly quarantined, but photographs show Negro delivery boys walking right up to their apartment's open door and handing them grocery bags full of supplies. Again, with no guards or even the most elementary protective gear visible anywhere. The blacks in Africa are, to a large degree, mentally incapable of doing what needs to be done to contain this disease. But worse yet are white Westerners, who are morally incapable of doing what needs to be done, totally sealing the borders, nay, the very oceans and atmosphere themselves, against travel from sub-Saharan Africa until nature has restored some semblance of balance there again and the epidemic has burnt itself out. Everyone knows there is an up to 21-day asymptomatic period following Ebola infection. So current efforts to screen travelers for signs of fever or flu-like symptoms will not be effective. Allowing continued immigration from Africa and sending thousands of troops and medical workers there, sure to return, when we know that even with extreme measures like hazmat gear, some 10% of medical workers end up infected, is a formula for total disaster. But the false morality promoted by the Jewish media and the Christian churches, the morality that tells us that the races are equal and that any preference for the survival of our own race is sinful and evil, won't permit us to do what must be done. What must be done is to them racist and therefore beyond the pale of morally acceptable behavior. The only actions which these morally defective individuals can endorse in this situation is even more engagement with Africa and Africans. Thousands of troops and healthcare workers sent there, some of whom will come home infected. And going by their twisted morality, there is no good reason why infected Africans themselves should not come to the West to take advantage of the better care available here, as I assure you, many of them are already doing, simply lying about having had contact with infected persons on the laughably ineffective self-assessment forms that pass for protective measures now. But there is something entering our bloodstreams from Africa, which is far more dangerous than HIV or Ebola, however. Let me ask you, are you skeptical of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, being sold to us as food? Do you take the time, trouble, and expense to find natural, nature-evolved foods for yourself and your family? Even if you don't, how would you feel about someone who proposed genetically modifying your children? I don't mean taking out a known gene sequence that causes a disease and replacing it with the natural sequence that ought to be there. I mean purposely scrambling the genes, more or less randomly, that make your children what they are. Changing the genes so that they no longer look like you or even appear to be related to you. Altering their genes so that they not only look different, but appear to be of a whole different subspecies than you. And modifying your children's genes so that they no longer think or act or communicate like they do now. Would you be for that or against it? Well, that's exactly what we're doing to our children by mixing the races. We're genetically modifying our children and grandchildren. And we're not doing it to eliminate diseases or birth defects by restoring what's natural to their gene sequences. No. We're taking the gene patterns of primitive human subspecies that our kind diverged from 50 or 100,000 years ago and mixing them with our genes in our children and grandchildren. We're breeding out, destroying forever the unique characteristics that make us what we are, that make us uniquely capable of creating and sustaining advanced civilizations, and ultimately spreading our civilization to the stars. And we're not really just randomly genetically modifying our children and grandchildren, it's worse than that. We're replacing the gene patterns that took hundreds of thousands of years to evolve with patterns from the lowest achieving, lowest intelligence, and most primitive and brutal strains of human beings currently extant on planet Earth. We're destroying ourselves, throwing away the gene structure that makes us what we are. We're throwing away 100,000 years of evolution. We're facilitating our extinction double time. We're throwing away all the sacrifices of our ancestors, known and unknown, and all the slow upward progress that the life force has made since we became human. We're destroying our posterity and all the generations to come. By allowing and even encouraging the ingress of genes from other human subspecies, we're genetically modifying our own children. And what is mixed to a sufficient degree can never be unmixed. And what is extinct can never be brought back to life. Yes, the pathways of infection from the third world must be closed off for the safety and security of our kind and our posterity. But far more dangerous than even Ebola or AIDS, far more dangerous than any bacterial or viral infection, is the ingress of the genes of other human subspecies into our genome that is currently being allowed and promoted by the Jewish power structure. A true morality, a cosmotheist morality, would have us radically change our laws and our behavior in such a way as to make our own survival as a race our highest priority. Helping our racial enemies and competitors, lavishing them with our wealth stolen from our own future generations, and opening the gates of our nations and the doorways of our daughters' bedrooms to them would cease to be moral priorities and would become capital crimes. Close off the pathways of infection. Close off the pathways of genetic destruction, and give all our energy and all our wealth and all our efforts to making the next generation of our own race the strongest, greatest, most advanced, and invincible generation ever seen on Earth. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.